Today's passage reading is Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Amen. The senior pastor will deliver the message, the sixth session on the Cultivate Heart Field. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 9,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, and local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, GCN, the children of Sunday School and GCN and Manmin TV viewing audiences, this past winter felt unusually cold, both in body and mind, for most people. But as this winter passes, spring has finally come, and we see the flowers blooming. The golden bell flowers and azaleas and cherry blossoms, and all these are blooming all together. It's all mixed up. There must be the timing for each flower. We can sense the change of season more vividly in the countryside than in the city. In spring, new sprouts come up one by one, and the hills and fields put on their colors of green. Those farmers who could have taken some rest after the fall's harvest will be busy again preparing for the new year of farming. They repeat what they had been doing in years past. First, they will cultivate the field to make it good to sow the seeds. They will dig up the hardened field and soften the soil. They will pick up the rocks and stones. They also fertilize the field. To have abundant harvest, they have to do their best in all of these processes. Of course, even though they do their best, they might not get a good harvest because the amounts of sunshine, wind, and rain, and the temperature may not be quite right. That is why farmers are always nervous, even though they sweat and toil in their labors. But it's a little different when we cultivate our hearts. If we cultivate our heart into good soil once, we will have abundant harvest every time we sow the seeds. We will reap 100 or 60 or at least 30 times more in crops. An abundant harvest of fruit is guaranteed, so we don't have to worry about the crops being ruined. We don't have to cultivate the field anymore. How happy this is! Great toil is required in the process of cultivating the field, but once we cultivate it into good soil, we can feel the joy of cultivating our heart field. We can always rejoice from sowing and reaping. Is there anyone among you who just keeps the roadside-like field, the rocky field, or the thorny field that produces no fruit and suffers all the time? Why do you have to suffer for such a long time? You can just cultivate it into good soil so you'll be so happy. And it'll be so easy to lead a Christian life, and it is easy to go to New Jerusalem. You'll do it with happiness. If this is your case, I encourage you to try a little harder and cultivate your heart field into good soil. Those who have good soil will have hearts that obey whatever they hear in the Word. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19 says, If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. In this year, I hope you will fill your heart field with good soil so that you can harvest beautiful fruit in spirit and body. And I'm explaining to you the special reasons for you to cultivate good field, good soil. In the Friday all I service that you will understand. Once you have good soil, you will receive comprehensive blessings. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what kind of field is it that has good soil? Matthew 13:8 says, "And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30." When you sow and reap, you don't reap just what you sow, but you reap at least 2 times, 5 times, 10 times. Then it would be better to reap 30, 60, 100 times more. A field with good soil is one that produces abundant fruit when seeds are sown. Namely, if they listen to the Word of God, they put it into practice and produce much fruit. Good soil doesn't have elements that hinder the crops from growing. So the life force in the soil will be in effect to the fullest degree. One seed can bear fruit 160 or at least 30 times more fruit. In contrast to the roadside, rocky field, and thorny field that we have learned about so far, I will talk about the characteristics of the good soil. You have been diligently cultivating your heart field until now. Listening to this message, I'd like you to check how close your field is to the good soil. First, good soil is not hard like the roadside. It is soft. The heart of the roadside-like field is full of self-righteousness and frameworks that have been hardened over a period of time. So even if you sow the seed, the birds will eat, and the seeds cannot sprout. And in spirit, it is the hardened heart that has so much of self-righteousness and frameworks. That is why they cannot accept the Word of God in their hearts. They doubt or pass judgment on the Word, because they judge according to their own self-righteousness and their knowledge, their theories. But with those, they can't understand the Word of God. And their idea is not right. Their theories, knowledge, all those things, they try to judge, and it doesn't work. For example, people try to be lifted up, but God tells us to humble ourselves. God tells us to serve. They want to be served. If we are hit by somebody, we want to hit him back 2 times. But God tells us to turn to him the other cheek also. If a person asks for a shirt, we give him the coat also. It is so, also, if somebody you hate forces you to go with him 1 mile, you go with him 2 miles. It's just not right. In this world, we have to try to live. But God tells us to die, then we live. The sun and the moon stopped. The Red Sea was parted. The Jordan River stopped. And the city of Jericho fell down just by shouting. Man's theories cannot explain any of these. And they try to make judgment on these things with their own theories. That's why they cannot say amen. They cannot obey. But unlike this roadside-like soil, the good soil is soft. When seeds are sown in the good soil, the soft soil will embrace the seeds to be properly planted. Also, the soil contains air and water, So the seeds can not only be planted, but grow up very well. Likewise, the heart of good soil will accept all the words of God very well. There is no such thing as that they accept the word if they like it, and they don't accept it if they don't like it. There is no chance for the bird, namely Satan, to take away the word. For example, the Genesis lecture that I am delivering these days contains very deep spiritual knowledge. And how are you listening to these messages? Most people would absorb the word, like a sponge absorbs water. Of course, the content is very deep, and it might take some time to fully understand it. But I believe you wouldn't pass judgment on it or disbelieve it, because you long for spiritual realm. You rejoice more when you hear about new things and deeper things of the spiritual realm. Even for me, there were some things that were unfamiliar to me when God explained about the things in the Bible, but I just believed whatever God explained to me. Even when He was telling me about the spiritual realm, which I had not heard of before, I never doubted it. It's because I believed all the 66 books of the Bible. If I didn't accept it just because it was unfamiliar and I couldn't understand, how would I be able to understand spiritual realm and be guided to this deep spiritual realm as of today? Psalm 119 verse 103 says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth." You should also be able to make the same confession. The more you go into spirit, the sweeter you feel about the Word of God. The more you hear it, the more you want, happier, the more sweeter you feel it is. Those who have the heart of the good soil will make a declaration, as in this psalm above, every time they hear the Word of God. I pray in the name of the Lord that this declaration will be your confession as well. Brothers and sisters, having listened up to this part, is there anyone who thinks, "Oh, I feel that the Word of God is as sweet as honey, so my heart must be close to good soil"? Even new believers, when they receive God's grace, they feel God's Word is as sweet as honey. Then I'd like you to check the next points as well. Second, the good soil does not have rocks in it. Because it's a good soil. As you have already heard, those who have rocky fields will also accept the word with joy. Though theirs is fleshly faith, they do believe the word, but they don't practice it. Of course, some of them they practice, but they don't practice most of the word, unless it is in accordance with their self-righteousness and frameworks. They don't practice it, so they don't obey. They know it's the word of God, but they don't put it into practice. Good soil is different from this rocky field. Those with good soil not only believe, but also put it into practice. They don't utilize their fleshly thoughts. They just say amen and obey. Good soil does not have rocks, so the word will take root very quickly. Namely, they don't have any hindrances in practicing the word they heard. Because they don't love the world, they don't hesitate or struggle against themselves in obeying the word. As you lead a Christian life, if you struggle against yourself, as I watched Mrs. Lee praying for many members, I was kind of sad to hear those contents of the prayers. They were full of spirit, but then they lose the fullness and they struggle and so on and so forth. They rejoice, but they lose it, lose the joy, and they march on. But then they backslide and they look back. Because I've never done such a thing. It's difficult to understand. Of course, I understand as to like, oh, it's a rocky field, it's a thorny field. So I understand, but since I was a new believer, I was so happy. I was always happy to go to church together in the name of the Lord. So even though nobody asked me to pray, I voluntarily prayed and fasted. I always prayed on the mountainside. If I couldn't go to the mountainside, I prayed all night in the church. I did the 40-night, 100-night, 200-night prayers. If I had time, I went to the mountainside to pray. People rather try to stop me from praying like that because the church they were telling me to stop because it was saying it was too noisy and our neighbors didn't like it. Because they don't have the untruth in the heart that hinder them from practicing the truth, it's not difficult for them to practice the word. No matter what they may hear of the word, they only obey with yes and amen. Even in tests, or even though they feel like they're standing at the edge of a cliff, their deeds will not change. It's because they are happy, just obey the word. Of whom are you reminded when you hear the word yes and amen? 2 Corinthians 1:19 says, "For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me, and Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in him." He never said no. He was only yes and amen. And I've only been saying yes and amen to the word of God. You might think it is obvious for Jesus to obey because he is the Son of God. But is it really so? In the physical viewpoint, Jesus' life was a continuum of situations where obedience was very difficult. It began right from his coming down to this earth. Jesus is one in origin with God, and he had to be born having physical body in this world. Even during his ministry, he didn't have any privileges just because he is the Son of God. But rather, the rules of justice were applied more strictly. The enemy devil and Satan ceaselessly incited evil people and sought justification to kill Jesus. When Jesus, who is the light itself, preached the truth, those in authority persecuted him. But Jesus just lived by the word of God and served the souls. He had compassion on even those who had evil thoughts and tried to teach them with the truth. He was never shaken by any kind of threat. He just obeyed the will of God until death. He gave himself as an atoning sacrifice for those sinners who were crucifying him. Since I was a new believer, I've only obeyed, and that's what made me what I am today. Even in the 98 and 99, even in severe trials, because God commanded us, He commanded me to go to other countries, so we began our crusades in other countries, and in many countries, and many of those countries, probably, I think, more than half of those countries, it was very difficult to preach the gospel there. It was extremely difficult to preach in India, which is a dominantly Hindu country, and also in a Muslim country, Pakistan, and Egypt, and Dubai, and China, and even in Israel, where we can't preach the gospel, and I preached the gospel in Israel for 3 years. I just obeyed the word of God. Even the things that weren't really possible. And when I obeyed, God worked together and He showed us great things. And after our mission in Israel is over, God tells me to go to the domestic missionary works, church associations. As for me, for my personal opinion, I don't really want to do that. It's only 45 million people. There are so many, more than 100 countries. I've received the invitation, and wherever I go, at least hundreds of thousands of people gather, but I have to decline all those things, and I have to preach the gospel of holiness within Korea, so I just obey. And I never hated or disliked the fact. I didn't express it that to hear the word heresy, because it's comfortable for me in one way, because nobody will say anything more. Even if I say the dragonflies are coming down, traveling through the spiritual spaces, nobody will say anything. Otherwise, so many people will say this and that, but what I'm saying is only the truth, what you have experienced, what you have seen and touched. I bled to death, and you watched me being revived. When I drank the water, and I came back to life, and also the sweet water, it is such a good thing. So in one sense, but it's so such a good thing, but people say this and that. But already because they said this word heresy, there's no more thing to say. So it's one way, it's comfortable, but I have to obey the word of God and go into the Korean church associations. Jesus gave himself as an atoning sacrifice for those sinners who are crucifying him. As above, those with the heart of good soil will obey the word of God in any test, trial, or persecution. For those who still have weak faith, it might look difficult to live only by the will of God, but this is not something difficult at all. If you just remove the rocks from your heart, it won't be difficult at all. If you just buy a field and you just get rid of the rocks, and it'll become good soil. But then why do you have to go all the way to countryside and buy a field and remove the rocks? There, you can just remove the rocks from your heart. Whatever is not right, according to the word of God, you can just remove them. It's difficult to obey the word because you still have the rocks. So if you do remove these things, when the Mrs. Lee prays for you, she wouldn't have to pray something like, why are you discouraged and this and that? Why are you sad? Why did you lose the joy and all these things? She wouldn't have to pray that way. There are just so many happy things in this church, and why do you have to get discouraged or become sad or... Suppose some government authorities were to come here and threaten my life if I did not stop the worship service. Would I be shaken by it? Would my mind be tempted if they offer me billions of dollars? And actually, there have been such threats many times. There were many people who suggested and offered some large piece of land or great amount of money or things like that. And if they really wanted to give, they could just do everything, do all the procedures, legal procedures, and just give me the official documents and hand it over to me. In reality, they wouldn't just ask me. So even if they were saying they were willing to give, maybe sometime they'll change their mind and regret. It's because to love the Father God and the Lord is more precious than any treasure or even my life. Such things cannot even be a test to me because there is no reason to even hesitate. I believe most of you here have the same mind. It's because you have been diligently removing the rocks from your heart field. Namely, you have to cast away your love for the world and the untruths that hinder you from living by the word. As you cast away those rocks, you will consider heaven more precious than anything else. If you put the word into practice, you will not only gain heaven, but you can take hold of better dwelling places in heaven. So it is your joy to live according to the word. Those who have good soil of the heart will practice the word with joy, and then they will have abundant fruit of blessings in their lives. These people will practice the word even more diligently in tests than when they are at comfort. This way, they destroy the camps of the enemy devil and Satan that try to make them stumble. In John chapter 4, when Jesus was going to Galilee from Jerusalem, his disciples urged him to eat the food that they had brought. But he said in John 4:34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Jesus sometimes went without eating anything. But even then, wouldn't he have been full and happy just by doing the will of God and accomplishing his work? I hope you will also be happy and joyful just by practicing the word of God, regardless of the situation you're in. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will also be full of joy because of the abundant fruit given by God when you practice His word. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, thirdly, the good soil does not have thorns. The field of thorns is the situation where a person cannot produce crops because of the worries of the world and deceitfulness of wealth. Even though children of God live by God's word, they cannot harvest fruit if they still have longing for the world or greed. They say they practice the word of God, but in fact, they cannot do it according to the will of God. They can only utilize their fleshly thoughts in all things. For example, when they pray to God to receive an answer to something, they will first use their own thoughts and methods if they have greed. If they face the temptation of wealth of the world, they even interpret the word according to their desires and then act accordingly. Sometimes they cover it with the truth. They say they are working for God, but if they have desire for fame, they may be working for their own glory. So even though they seem to be living by the word, they don't bear any spiritual or physical fruits. Those who have the good soil of heart will obey the word of God as they hear it. They don't utilize any of their fleshly thoughts. If you don't utilize any fleshly thoughts, you'll be just so happy. You don't have any worries, sorrows, lamentations. Those who don't have fleshly thoughts,
육신의 생각이 내게 오지 않는다 하는 분들은 영으로 들어간 것입니다.
If fleshly thoughts do not come into your mind, it means you are in spirit. And if you try to have some fleshly thoughts but can't, it means you are in whole spirit. Since I was, since the opening of the church, from around the time, I've been emphasizing that if you go into spirit, fleshly thoughts wouldn't come into your mind. And if you go into whole spirit, even if you try to think, try to have fleshly thoughts, you wouldn't be able to. At that time when I explained that, few people understood. Because they tried not to think of such things, not to have fleshly idle thoughts, but they couldn't stop. If the students can focus and concentrate on their studies, they keep on having other thoughts. They want to go outside and play, and they want to play games, and they want to hang out with their friends and so on and so forth, so they can concentrate. And also in 98 and 99, why did God tell you not to see or hear or spread anything? Because you saw and heard, all those fleshly thoughts came up to your mind. And if you try to stop, more and more thoughts came into your mind. You saw something you should have seen. But because you have seen, you are reminded, and those thoughts come into your mind. And if you try to stop, even more thoughts come into your mind. And if those thoughts don't come into your mind at all, it means you are in spirit. And even if you try to have fleshly thoughts and you can't, it means you are in the whole spirit. For your information, let me elaborate on this. In the first level of spirit, if you try to stop thinking, you have even more thoughts. So you struggle. You see somebody whom you hate, but you don't want to hate him, but hate even more. It's the same with the adulterous mind. In the first level of faith, even though you don't see, you are reminded. You have such thoughts. In the second level, maybe if you don't see, you don't have such thoughts. So from first level to second level, it is reduced. In the first level, even if you don't see, you have so many such thoughts of adulterous thoughts. But in the second level of faith, to the extent you cast off sins, your thoughts are reduced. And if, as you go into a third level, if you try to stop thinking, then you can actually stop thinking. So you can overcome, so you can control yourself. And in the fourth level of faith, all fleshly thoughts are gone, so all your evils are gone. All thorns and rocks are removed from your heart. So you have only goodness, so you don't have any fleshly thoughts. So you can always be full of spirit. You don't think of the worldly things, you only want to see the truth. You don't want to see or hear or speak anything that is not true, not truth. And because you don't have any evil, you don't give out anything untruth. So you'll be just so happy if you go into spirit. You don't have to think about bad things. And even if you try to think about something of untruth, you can't. That's why you have to experience it. Those who go into spirit, those who have come into spirit, they are able to understand it. In the 80s, nobody really understood. But now we have many people who are in the spirit, so these people, they can understand. Because if they don't want to think, they don't think. So they now understand that even if they try, they can't think of such things. So when they are completely in the fifth level of faith, even though they try, they can't think of anything that is untruth. So they can't commit sins, even by heart. Is it understandable? Those who are longing for spirit and going to spirit, they can understand this. So to measure whether you are, to check whether you are spirit or whole spirit, just think about something that is untruth. And try to think of somebody, try to have thoughts of hatred about somebody. And if you try to think about it, and it just disappears. You cannot continue. You just forget what you are trying to think about. In the first morning service also, I gave this example. Suppose there is a naked woman or naked man. If you don't have any fleshly thoughts, you don't try to think of anything, so you don't sense anything. You don't have any feelings. So because you don't have any adulterous mind, you don't think of anything. It's just a creature of God. So you don't commit any sins. Even in your thoughts, you cannot commit sins. So those who are in the Holy Spirit, they can do that. So they can't hate anybody. Even though others try to kill you or judge you, condemn you, you can't hate them. You can just pray for their blessings. You just want to have peace with them. And you just want to pray for them. If your heart changes this way, it means you have accomplished, cultivated New Jerusalem in your heart. You'll always have only peace and love and happiness in your heart. You don't have any envy or jealousy, passing judgment or condemnation in your heart. You don't spread bad rumors. If anything bad, you wouldn't want to spread it at all. You'd want to spread only good things. So you can't think of anything that is untruth, so you can't act anything that is untruth. Some people wonder whether they are in Holy Spirit or not, when they can go into Holy Spirit. They are in spirit, but so please remember this and keep this in mind so you can, if you go into Holy Spirit, even if you try, you can't think of anything that is untruth. Even if you try, they'll just disappear within a second. Or maybe you have to have some material to see, look at it, and try to think of something that is untruth. But it just disappears within a second. Then it means if you are really doing that, you can be assured that you are in the fifth level of faith. And listen to the word about the Beatitudes, the spiritual love chapter, and nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. And if you're completely obeying all those words, if you have cultivated all those characters in you, then it means you're in the Holy Spirit. These people, God gives them anything they ask. God walks with them, and they will have communication with God. Those who are in the Spirit, they can be guided to prosperity, but those who are in the Holy Spirit, they have a different dimension of blessings. Because they have cast off the fleshly mind at the root, that is a source of fleshly thoughts, they cannot have any fleshly thoughts. Because they act according to the word, they will surely bear the fruit in every aspect. When they fulfill some duties, they will accomplish everything beautifully and give glory to God. So fleshly men can never judge those who are those men of spirit or men of Holy Spirit. Suppose some men of spirit, they are looking at something they shouldn't be looking at. But men of flesh, they cannot judge them. oh, they are looking at something they shouldn't be looking. They may be just seeing them, but the thing is they don't really have associated feelings or thoughts about what they are seeing. The Bible, so the man of flesh, they cannot judge anybody. But the man of spirit, they can judge because they have cast away the log from their eyes. Because they are in the higher level of faith, because they have passed all these steps. They can control all these fleshly levels, so they can discern according to the levels of spirit. They can judge, but they don't judge. If we judge, condemnation will follow. So if they judge, they don't judge because they don't have any evil. They just can discern. If they are taking care of other souls, they will bear the fruit of evangelism and save many souls. So the pastors, if you go into spirit and Holy Spirit quickly, you can bear a lot of fruit and be praised for bearing a lot of fruit. You don't have to worry about when you visit the members, and you don't have to worry about bearing a lot of fruit as parish pastor. Same with the missions, guidance pastors. If you go into spirit, you don't try to do it yourself. You just pray and leave it to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit and the God and the Lord will lead you. So what can be impossible? If you try to do it yourself, it'll be hard. It won't work. But if you leave it to the Holy Spirit inside you, you can just obey. He will lead you. If they work for God with their body, He gives them health. If they give their monetary offering, He repays them 30, 60, or 100 times more. Of course, practicing the Word of God cannot just be done without any thinking. Matthew 13:23 says, "And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. As said, those with good soil will understand the heart of God contained in the word they hear. They obey God and they understand His will in everything. They can discern the will of God clearly and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit clearly because they don't have any flesh in their minds. So if you go into spirit, you will hear the voice of the Holy Spirit clearly because you don't have any flesh in you. You have no evil untruths or fleshly thoughts in you, so you have only spiritual thoughts. You only have spiritual mind. So are your thoughts. So the Holy Spirit moves your heart and controls your heart, so you only hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of the truth. So as you obey with yes and amen, you just practice the truth. So the result, prosperity. You'll prosper in all things. As your soul prospers, all things go well with you, and you'll be healthy, especially those who are doing businesses, elders and men's mission members. For that reason, please listen to the Friday Olight service messages. Please keep them in mind. Make them your spiritual bread. I hope you will feel the need to go into spirit so you can understand what kinds of works of God you can see as you go into spirit. Just listening to it once is not enough. Please listen to them carefully again and again. So make it yours, completely yours. And then, so you can listen to the second message. Please do not postpone it to May or tomorrow. Just make it yours right at the moment. And as you try, you can go into spirit quickly. So you can receive blessings. And even if I just put it into your mouth, and if you just refuse it, I'm feeding you. And if you just spit it out, then I'm explaining to you in this detail in the Sunday morning and service and Friday online service. Also, they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat, drink, or whatever they do. For this reason, they can bear abundant fruit as they sow and act. The heart of good soil is a heart such as this. In the next session, I will talk to you about three things that we need to do in order to cultivate our heart into good soil. We learned about the good soil, so in the next session, I will explain how to make our heart good soil. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when God commanded Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, he just obeyed. It wasn't that Abram was in the Holy Spirit. He was still a man of flesh. But God commanded him, and he just obeyed. Was it easy for him to obey? Before you go into spirit, if God tells you this, how many of you can actually obey right now? Just leave your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you. He didn't designate, God didn't designate any destination. God just said, I will show you. Just leave. Are you doing this? If you have any idols, if you have any evil or sins, have you just left all of them? For Abraham, it wasn't something easy. He was his country. He had to leave his relatives and his father's house. But God tells us to leave the bad things. It is something easy. But there are people who can't even do this. They know they are harming their bodies. They don't quit smoking and drinking. As they get older, it'll reveal. They will have troubles with their bodies. Their internal organs are weakened and diseased, and they can't quit those little things. They can't cast away anger. They can't cast away envy and jealousy. They can't just leave them. And God commanded Abraham something much more difficult than that, but he just obeyed. But what if he made up his mind to leave, but gave up later thinking, all I have accomplished in this place will be wasted? Or, if he had left his father's home and was going the way God showed him, but he liked another direction and changed the course midway, what would have happened? When God commanded him to offer his only son Isaac, what if he couldn't obey because he cherished his son so much? Some people, their babies are sick and it's difficult to be healed, and God has to take away their soul. But I can't just tell them straight to the parents and I just pray for them. While the babies are alive, while the children are alive, they act like they have faith. They are diligent. They come to receive my prayer. And when God takes away the soul of their children, they don't show up anymore. They just leave. Some of the mothers remain, but most fathers, they just leave the church. So what they have been saying, that they believe and so on and so forth, it's all lies. If they really believed, it would have been different. It's the same with those who are sick themselves. They have incurable diseases, so many incurable diseases. They stay here for a couple of months, and it's not healed. They are not healed. We tell them, you have to believe. They say, oh, I believe. I believe everything. Do you believe in this church? God is with this church. God loves this church, and God is showing us great signs and wonders. Oh, they say, I believe everything. But after a couple of months, they are not healed. Then they are no more to be seen. They're disappointed and they left, which means they never believed. If they really believed that this church is the church of life and God is with this church, whether they are healed or not is not the matter. They will lead the Christian life to go to heaven. Because what they wanted was not given. They just left. It was just a fleshly faith, faith that changes. Faith with doubt. It's not true faith. That's why God couldn't work. If something small, maybe God could have worked. But if they have incurable disease, terminal disease, how can they be healed with such a fake faith? To be healed of such a terminal diseases, they first have to have the love for God. They have to love God to some extent at least, but they don't have that. So they say they believe that there is life in this church, and they leave the church to prove their word was a lie. If they really gain faith, of course they come to the church to receive healing first, but as they listen to the word of God, they understand God is the creator and they know about the Lord, so they hear many testimonies. So regardless of their healings, they will just lead a Christian life. But because they don't have any spiritual faith of that kind, they just leave the church. What if Abraham couldn't obey because he cherished son so much and didn't obey God's command? Then the genealogy of faith would have been different. Instead of his name, Abraham, another person's name would have been mentioned as the forefather of faith. Abraham could obey God completely because he came forth as good soil. And through him, the chosen nation of God was formed. Because he was such a good vessel, such a good person, God called him and commanded him, because God knew he would obey. But just by obeying this once, it doesn't mean he went into spirit and Holy Spirit, so he went through a couple more trials, so he could break down his fleshly thoughts. Is that God couldn't protect him, protect his wife from being taken away from him? God just left that to happen, allowed for that to happen a couple of times. And when he dug the well, these wells were taken by others. It's not that God couldn't protect him, but through those trials, his fleshly thoughts were broken down, and he came to have real faith, true faith, and real trust in God, and he became a bigger and bigger vessel. And his nephew received blessings just because of him, because he was with him. And even though his nephew took the good things, he rather proposed him to take the good land first with a big, broad heart. In order to make him such a broad, make his heart such a broad heart, God gave him, allowed him the trials. But God can't give trials just to anyone. He can give such a harsh, such trials to only those who can overcome and who can obey and become and to broaden their hearts, like in the case of Abraham. So Abraham became the father of all nations. Wouldn't you want to become like Abraham? We can do it. Although we can't become exactly the same as Abraham, we can catch up to a great, to a significant extent. And we can receive so much blessing and glorify God so much. Abraham became a true child of God who shines like the sun in heaven, and he received overflowing blessings on this earth. Just like God the Father called Abraham, he has also called you at this important time. He also wants you to come forth as good soil and bear abundant fruit. Now, how far have you come in this march of faith? Have you surely left your country, your father's household? Do you always say yes and amen to the word? If you've been leading a Christian life for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, or 25 years, 30 years, how far have you come? Or do you still feel you have so much more to go? Even so, the length of the journey can be shortened depending on how you make up your mind. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will make up your mind firmly and give God beautiful fruits from good soil, 30, 60, or 100 times more than what you have sown. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for your grace and love. Let this message become life and faith. Father, let us cultivate good soil with which we have only spiritual thoughts, but not any of fleshly thoughts. Let us cast away, pull out the thorns. Let us remove all the rocks from our heart. Let us cast away all the untruths, self-righteousness and frameworks and all self-centered theories and knowledge. And let us cultivate it into, let us fill it with the truth and the word of God. Father, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I'll pray for the sick, lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities, and receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Father God, lay your hands on them. Lay your hands on all the members who are attending the service in the churches, branch churches, in the local sanctuaries, all over the country, through the satellite, and all the children of God who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, and all overseas pastors and missionaries and members of 9,000 branch churches, and they sent their prayer requests from other countries. Lay your hands on them and answer them. Pastor Joseph Chung Hee Han in India. He'll have the pastor's conference and handkerchief crusade in Vidurunagar in Tamil Nadu on April 13th. And many people gather, and when he prays with a handkerchief, show your most high power of creation. And he'll visit Sri Lanka for his missionary works from 14th to 17th of April. Be with him and make his journey prosperous. Abby Dalias of Colombia has troubles with the knee bone healer by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Jose Diego of Colombia, bless his business field. let his children study well. Fernando Blania of Venezuela, let him get a good job. Let his wife, Vicky, be used as a servant of God. Sui Jung of a neighboring country, has esophagus cancer, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let her get a visa to Korea, Korean visa. May IG has diabetes, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Li Guiying is praying for Zhang Ning, has a short-sightedness, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Yushin Wei has low intelligence, cannot speak clearly. Be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Liu Xinda, heal his eyes and let him see properly. Zhou Hangme, let him get a Korean visa. Liu Huizhen, let the disturbing forces go away and let him have spiritual faith. Yi Jeongdeok is praying for his son Yi Ho. Let the schizophrenia, mental disorder, go away. Be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Light come. Let the power of darkness go away. Be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Make it clean. Father, thank you. Lay your hands on all the members from head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and give them spiritual and physical health. Let the eyes see well. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let them speak well. And let the third stage cancers be healed. All the internal organs be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. And all internal organs be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. Light come, Father. Drive away all the skin diseases, loosen all the paralysis, and make them complete and whole. Bless them whether they come in or go out. Let them lend and not borrow. Let them become the head. And let them understand the word. Make it their spiritual bread. Make it completely theirs and let them go into spirit and whole spirit. Through these special Daniel prayer meetings, answer to their prayers. And due to the, change of season, all the cold, flu, coughing, fever, go away. All the cold, go away. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. And Father, show your work on the Children's Sunday School. All the cold and cough and fever, go away. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Go away. Father, give them health. Make them healthy. Protect all the church vehicles, church members' vehicles. Let there be no accidents. Let them make no mistakes while driving. Give them peace throughout this week. Protect their children, workplaces, business fields. Give them peace. Make impossible things possible and possible things even better. Father, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.